You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Hey, and welcome to another episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Join me today. I'm very excited to share with you the insights, tips, and teachings from the e-commerce business coach, Sarah. Sarah has a tremendous amount of experience building highly successful e-commerce companies, one of her own which she recently sold. You may know her as the Raw Food Mum. Now with an e-commerce business in the surfing industry, Sarah keeps ahead of the e-commerce world as she coaches her clients, many in the beauty industry, through building their own online empires. Listen as we discuss everything from creating a cult following to scaling your salon sales through your website. Remember, marketing is perception, and what you present to the client is what they'll believe. Come over to iTunes and listen to the show. See you there. Sarah, thank you for joining me at the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Really awesome to have you here today.
Pleasure.
So before we get started, why don't you tell us a little bit about where you are in the world, what you do, and how did you come to be doing what you're doing?
Yep. So I'm the e-commerce business coach. I'm located in northern New South Wales, Australia. And I've been coaching now over a couple of years, actually, but professionally in servicing online stores and e-commerce business brand owners for the last 12 months full-time. I had a very successful online business called The Raw Food Store here in Australia, and I always had people coming up and asking me for advice on how they could start and scale their own online stores. And so my coaching business basically grew from that. So I've been in the e-commerce space for 20 years. I have a bachelor in marketing and retail management. And straight out of uni when I was 20, I was managing some stores called Spotlight there in Australia. Then I moved into marketing, and then I went on to do a master's in design. So my passion is around e-commerce and branding and helping my clients start and then scale their online stores.
And you're also a mum, and so this means that you can work around your family.
Yes. So originally the success of my business, The Raw Food Mum, was based around my two girls, which we were 100% raw vegans at that time. So I have quite a large following over on that, and I still have that business, and that's where my store originated from. Yeah, so I think thanks to them almost that they held my, you know, career being an entrepreneur. I'd always been in the corporate sector, and then I had my girls and I was sharing what we were eating and, you know, how we lived our lifestyle, and that kind of propelled. And then I said, right, I'm going to, you know, basically upsell my knowledge. Yeah. And started my raw food store business, which, you know, turned over 7 figures in 2 years, and I sold it for high 6 figures. We had 200 to 300 orders a week in that niche. I sold that, started coaching, and now I've got my own. I've got a new brand, which is a surf product in the surf industry. So I'm pretty passionate. I'm in there doing it with my clients.
Yeah.
And,
Which also, your client list also includes businesses in the hair and beauty space.
Yes.
And you and I met in a mastermind environment. And we became instant friends and are, you know, both obsessed by our businesses.
Yeah.
So we talk often and a lot about all the things business.
That's right.
I really appreciate you coming and sharing your knowledge.
Thank you.
Because you've got lots to share, because I do know that there are many salons, hair and beauty salons, who want to start an e-commerce store off the back of their salon, whether it's for shampoo or skin and hair products. Whatever it may be, it is something that I get asked a lot. And so that's why I wanted to bring you on to talk about what are some of the things that we need to consider if we're going to start essentially a side business from our primary business, which is the hair or beauty salon.
Yep. And I have quite a few clients in the beauty industry, which is surprisingly, really. I'm not a real makeup sort of girl, but I tend to attract them. Look, it's a really good niche online. I call it, it's a bit of a a cash cow, the beauty industry, if you can get it right online. Makeup, beauty products, hair care can be really profitable. But there's a few things that, you know, you need to do to set yourself apart from other people in the same industry as you. And some of those things are creating a niche within your niche. So, you know, I have a client at the moment that runs a beauty and massage salon in Sydney. And she, you know, she could be a beauty and, you know, facials and all that sort of stuff. But how we positioned her brand, she came to me, you know, so we've sort of taken that, her brand into a real sub niche within that area, and that is servicing mums who are pregnant and or mums that have had new babies, and then, you know, and mostly mums, which, you know, to be honest, most women are, not all, but it's very much around the pregnant mum and the newborn, the new mother, and servicing those clients. So and then she helps support those clients through her products and then also workshops, as well as the service of massage and, you know, selling beauty products as well. So I definitely think one of the areas is when you're going into looking at supporting your salon is creating, going into that and finding that sub niche within your niche that sets you apart from your other competitors. I find that especially with people, it's like at the e-store, when you have a bricks and mortar store, the online component of it supports the bricks and mortar store. Mm. And the bricks and mortar store supports the online e-commerce store. They sort of go hand in hand.
Yeah.
And often just by having, you know, often you'll have a the presentation and the way the brand is presented online will help drive your foot traffic just as much as your foot traffic will help drive your sales. And sometimes it may not always be about growing the sales component online. You may find that by presenting and having just products for sale on your website may also just help drive the foot traffic as well.
And when you're saying foot traffic, you're talking about literal footsteps, not
footsteps, people in the doors.
Yeah. not people clicking.
No. I mean actual foot traffic. Yeah. Yes. Online traffic. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really find that it's a really good business model to be in. Look, most bricks and mortar stores have an online component to their business these days. It's almost a necessity. It creates trust. You know, you've got social proof on there. And it's sort of, this business is legitimate. Let's go in and let's make an appointment. You know, what gets that person over the line to make a booking and getting a hair appointment?
Yeah.
And then once they're in, how do you support them with selling them products and servicing them with their products once they've left?
Yeah.
So they can support each other through that way.
Yep. So if we're talking about the first thing to consider is kind of claiming your space and creating a value proposition, something that makes you stand out from the rest, it has to be in alignment with what you're already doing in your bricks and mortar version of the business, obviously.
Yeah.
But that actually is something that you really need to think about before you launch into creating an e-commerce store is what actually is your value proposition? What is the space that you're claiming, or what I like to call is, you know, what is it that makes you the go-to expert in your area? Why would they choose you over anybody else?
Yeah, and look, a lot of that is supported by word of mouth and testimonials and social proof. What I say to all my guys is, and I've always done this with all my own businesses, I go in there and I claim it. I claim that space.
Yeah.
I claim that sub-niche. I was the raw food mum. I was the go-to mum for parents looking to feed their children raw food or healthy, you know, healthier food. The raw food store. I was the number one online raw food store and destination for blenders, dehydrators, and all your raw food products and accessories. I claimed that space. From day one, I said I was the store to go to. There were three other stores in Australia, and we outgrew them, you know, within 2 years, we smashed the space. I think in business you really have to, I always say go hard or go home, but you have to go in and you have to really claim this space. Marketing is perception.
Yeah.
And what you present to the consumer is what they'll believe to an extent.
For sure.
And then you back that up with the social proof, the trust, legitimacy, you know, all the stuff that helps support that, word of mouth for your salons and things like that. So definitely value proposition needs to really go in and tell your customers why you're good and why you're the number one place to shop on, you know, online with, or why you're the number one hair salon to go and get your hair done at. Yeah.
Okay. So in creating that those trust elements around your brand in terms of that website, what's one of the most important things to consider to achieve that?
Yeah.
Give us one tip.
Well, I've actually got three little quick ones. Testimonials, testimonials, social proof.
Yep. So testimonial is social proof,
Social proof. And the last one is your footer.
Okay.
Footer of your website. If you can so often see it on websites, they have these fluffy little footers that just have a few little links on it. And I wish I could show you visually, but I can't over the podcast. But, you know, have all your about us, your contacts us, your terms and conditions, your FAQs, have all those sublinks in the bottom, your social media links, your even a little paragraph on SEO. There's a really good website here in Australia called Bird's Nest, if you ever want to go and have a look at it. They have the most amazing website footer you've ever seen. They have their search box in there. They have their sign up for their VIP, and it's all contained in this one area of the footer. And I just absolutely love it. It's legitimacy. It shows the trust elements of it, even from a purchasing point of view, like it's a secure website, Google rated number one, everything in there that can possibly be in there that sort of communicates this know, like, and trust element in people feeling confident with buying from them online is in this footer.
I think that's really important what you've said about that trust element and feeling confident on your online, because it's so easy to lose that trust without actually realizing it. It's little things that when you're the buyer are quite subconscious to you, right? But you need to make sure as the seller that you put them there so it is easy and effortless, and those, like you say, those trust elements are kind of being ticked off in the mind, even though the consumer's probably not consciously thinking about it. Would that be a fair comment?
Yeah, definitely, because the consumer already has a bar at which they're shopping at. So there's all these other stores out doing this. So when you're not coming at that bar, you're automatically losing that trust straight away. So that's why I'm really big on branding and the way your brand is presented in the market, because you have to step out and be, you know, like, you've got to have a website that moves people through from understanding who you are to the product, the checkout, and then purchasing from you.
Yeah.
And if you don't have all these subconscious things in place, like even things like having your add to cart button, when you hover over that needs to be a different color. Orange and blue are the most common colors for people. Like, they're the buying behavior sort of elements of your website that you need to make sure are there. Making sure that if you add something to your checkout, that the add to cart button or the little basket changes the color and is big and it's in the top right hand corner. I have so many clients that come to me and there's just little things, and they are just simply blown away by how their conversion rate just increases. Because it's just the tiny things, because it's a buyer behavior. People have been using the internet for a long time now.
Yes.
Like, you know, it's crazy. The only other thing I'm going to throw in is just the importance of mobile optimization these days. That's just so important.
Yeah.
And retargeting, but I can keep going on with that.
Yeah.
I'll just tell you the reason why that is, because a lot of people browse on mobiles but still go and purchase on desktop.
Yes.
So that's where retargeting comes in for online. So you can still, a lot of people go on their mobile, have a look, get distracted, and then when they actually want to go and buy, they're getting retargeted and they go, oh, yeah, that's where I was. I'll finish the purchase now. So,
So I think the thing that stood out for me the most in that little section there was that people already have set the bar at how they buy online, right? Yep. They've been buying online for a long time. They're already buying at major brands online, and then a little store like a salon owner comes along, and if we're not having as good a buying experience, as even though as a business owner we might not put ourselves at par with the big major brands, but they're not having that good an experience, that we're actually losing demerit points in terms of trust.
Okay, so we spoke about this briefly before, but the next thing to bring in, and I know, Larissa, you're going to ask, you know, what I recommend. But this is where most of the small brands, when you're competing against large brands, especially salon owners, are the ones where the owners step alongside the brand. So they're in there sharing videos of what's going on in their salon that day. They're sharing videos of what new products they've got in store, doing product demos. And that's all about creating a culture around your brand. So it's a culture And that's a cult following. So you actually get, you know, it doesn't matter if you've got 100 customers that are so passionate about your brand and continuously buy from you. I mean, there's always the opportunity to scale, but those 100 customers could serve you for a year, right? Mm. With recurring revenue and like that, the cost of acquisition of those 100 customers and the profit they bring in is a much more benefit than going out there and getting going out to 100,000 people that aren't interested in you. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's really about creating that culture around your brand and having a cult following, especially for small businesses. And the ones that I see are doing well are where the salon owner or the staff in there or even the bricks and mortar store are in there sharing what's going on in the business. Yep. They're doing little interviews with their customers as they leave the door, you know, really being live and almost transferring that in-store experience online as well.
Yes, letting the online people have a peek inside of what's going on. Bring them in and make them feel like they're present.
Yeah, that's how you compete against the big brands.
Yeah.
You start getting into like real little subcultures around your products and who you are as a business owner and what your salon and what your products stand for. They're the ones that do well.
Yeah. But make sure your buttons work.
Yeah, you're trying not. There's no point competing against big brands. It really isn't. It's just they'll go and drop millions of dollars. Like look at Priceline and those guys. Like you'll never compete. So, but what sets your business apart from Priceline is how you create that customer experience.
Yeah.
You know, people still want to support small independent businesses.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, for sure. And they want to belong to something.
They want to belong, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's talk a little bit about the ability to scale, and because we're quite familiar with the concept that once we have a client in our chair and then they come once, we can, one, get them to come back again, and two, that we can sell them multiple things over a period of time. They don't just have to have one service, that we can upsell them to various things. How does that translate to our then e-commerce store?
E-commerce experience. Well, interesting enough, so I have a salon owner, and we're implementing some strategies around, okay, so when they come in store, we get them on an actual communication EDM, electronic direct mail sequence, that we upsell products to. There are things, this is an e-commerce is a very technical space, but if you have a customer come in and they buy a certain product, you tag them in the back end of your communication, and then you can either upsell them or you can get them onto a subscription service. So, if they come in on the store and they get a hair product, how do you make it easier for them to buy that product from you? So get a subscription service in. How do we follow up with that customer after they've left? Online, it's, we sort of get them in. Once a customer's purchased from you, there's a bit of retargeting that goes on. They go on to a post-purchase welcome series email, and we nurture them that way. And then there's, creating that relationship with the customer over time. I've got a client, she sells, her website's called Mini Pet, and she sends out her orders, and one thing her customers constantly say about when they order from her, they feel like they've ordered a present for themselves. Like they're getting a present in the mail.
Yeah.
The experience of unpacking that product alone can be satisfying enough to remember that they felt great once they received the order.
Yes.
The little bit of difference that goes in how you package an order and send it to your customer can make the world of difference. And she has honestly the most amazing customer return rate you've ever seen in the store.
Yeah.
It's crazy stuff. Because she treats her customers with such respect and such value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a really interesting point, actually, is because I know that this can happen when we're dealing with our online experience, is that we forget that they're actually real people clicking behind everything.
Yeah.
And we forget that we can have a relationship with them even though they're just clicking on our website. So I think, what you're just saying there is really turn that into this, that's how you build a cult following, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, online is a different world, and then you have different selling. Like your eBay customer is a completely different customer than your store customer. Like they're a real cutthroat kind of customer. There's no loyalty in those customers compared to like your actual loyal cult following customers. It's a really different e-commerce, different but Amazon customers. Like everyone relates very differently. But if you've got a standalone e-commerce store, it really is about creating that relationship with your customer. Treating them, putting them top of the chain.
And if you've got a bricks and mortar, then it's really an extension of that relationship that you've got. They're going to be your primary customer, right? Primarily it's going to be your in-salon clients first.
Yeah, that's right. And it's interesting because, you know, I shop a lot online and I do a lot of research online, and I've been shopping at a store completely off tangent, but I shopped at a very big online kitchen store in Australia here where I buy a lot of my bread making stuff. And I had an experience with them that I went and spent, you know, probably about $300 worth of products. And the next day I got this, you know, email saying 50% off, literally within 6 hours of making this purchase. And I thought to myself, I never do this, but I'm going to ask them if I can, you know, it was a huge order and the products that I ordered were on sale. And I called up the lady and I said, you know, I actually never do this and I've run my own businesses, but I'm just wondering, you know, can I cancel that order and put a new one in? And she was really rude to me. And where does it say that? Where does it do that? And I was like, even if, and I just thought to myself, you've just done it. Customer service.
Yeah.
You know, it's just gone. You're gone now. I will never purchase from you again. And I've probably spent $1,000 with you over the life of the value. Customer service is so important.
Yeah.
How your staff represent your brand is everything.
Yeah.
Customers may not always be right, but treat them with respect.
Yeah. And a small loss today actually means a continued win for the future.
Oh, definitely. So, and you know, I now, as I've gone from an advocate for that brand to now telling everyone about it, don't shop.
Yeah.
You know, just one person.
Doesn't take much.
No. So you online still, you still have to be, you know, I don't believe every customer is right, but always be nice.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And you can say no very nicely.
Of course, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. So you're a business owner yourself, and it's tough when you're, you know, running your own gig. What is a quote or a mantra that kind of keeps you going or keeps you sane as a business owner?
Oh, yeah. Well, mine is just progress, not perfection. I love that one.
I love that one too, actually, because it means that you can gain momentum. Otherwise, we never do anything.
That's right. The other one, I always, what is it? Reach for the moon, you might make the stars. Yeah, I always have really big goals in my business, and so you'd be surprised what you do achieve if you make them as big as you possibly can. So I just think, go big, go big or go home.
Now, you shared something really interesting with me, a quote, just when we were chatting before, something around time and money, and I forget it now, but I thought it was really...
Interestingly enough, in the e-commerce world, there's a lot of people out there, you know, sort of marketing, get rich kind of online store, you know, create an online store and, you know, make sales straight away. And e-commerce, if you want to make a success out of it, is a long-term game. It's not a short-term game. And a lot of these business models have been based on drop shipping, and there's a particular model around drop shipping products from China and cheaper sort of products. But the one thing... that I've noticed in the last, say, since the growth of online shopping, is that a lot of people come to this thinking that they can really do this really easily and quickly. But, you know, I think the tables have turned again, whereas, you know, Facebook, we used to see things very, the reach was a lot more organic. Now it's back to everything's a pay-to-play marketplace, right? So 10 years ago when you started the business, you very much had a business plan. You very much had budgets around, this is for my advertising, this is budget for my PR, this is a budget for my stock, and, you know, you really allocated that. And I think that a lot of people start these online stores and, you know, go and buy products, whatever, but they're not allocating budget for advertising. And in this day and age, you really need to. It's back to pay or play marketplace. It really is. Yeah. You have to pay to play.
Yeah.
And I think the quote I shared with you, Larissa, was, let me just find it. It was, a person who stops advertising to save money is like a man who stops the clock to save time.
Yeah.
And it's just,
I love it.
You've got to spend money to make money, unfortunately. But you've got to do it, you know, you've got to learn how to do things the right way. You know, I've got business owners that go and employ Facebook agencies to run their Facebook ads, and they don't even know how to use it. So, you know, you've got to, I think as a business owner, you have to understand and learn how to use these things before you start outsourcing. So you know when you do outsource what people are doing for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably my other biggest tip, is get under the hood and understand your business before you start getting other people to service it for you.
Yeah, I'm actually an advocate for that. You know, it takes longer to learn it yourself, and I certainly don't believe that you should be doing it yourself, but I think you want to understand enough that...
you've got to understand it.
Yeah, because actually you're the one that knows your business.
Yeah.
You can outsource something, but unless they're really intimate, you need to be the glue between the gap or fill the gap between what they don't know about your business and what you know. You can't just hand over responsibility completely.
No.
I agree.
It's so risky. It really, and it's just you're wasting money. Like, I know time is money and we're all really busy these days and the pressure of everything is on everyone, but if you take the time, like Facebook ads, for example, I teach all my clients how to really use it. So even if they want to outsource it, they know exactly what that agent is doing. I teach them how to read the figures, how to understand what's working and what's not working, because I've seen too many people. Facebook ads seems to be one of the riskier areas.
And
Google ads is another one too, because they're your main advertising sources. But once you understand that, you can pick someone up very quickly and see if they're legitimate or not, if they actually really understand what they're telling you. I've had personal experience with that. We launched Board Socks and I employed a very big Facebook, a person who claimed to be very big in Facebook ads and very knowledgeable. But I'm in business with my brother, and he said, why don't you do it? I said, I want to outsource it to the best so I can focus on what I can focus on in my business.
Yeah.
But we employed him, and we spent a couple of $1,000 a week on this, and that's a lot of money.
Yep.
I know people would freak out about that, but once you get to a level, you'll find out if that's not a lot of money. But and I knew what was going on, and so my anxiety was from 0 to 110 very quickly, and I just killed it straight away. I was like, nah, you don't know what you're doing. Let me, you know, turn that Facebook ads, drive sales. But I knew as a business owner very quickly what was right and what was wrong, what was going on, so I could understand it. And, you know, a lot of things in e-commerce, especially in the Facebook, they do cost money. It costs money to hire people.
Yep.
So get in under the hood, understand it, so when you know when someone's taking over your business, that they're legitimate.
Yeah.
Because I think that's my biggest thing at the moment, is I just get too many people come to me and it's just heartbreaking stories of how they've been taken advantage of.
Yeah,
it's really sad. So
what's a great book, webinar, podcast or resource that you can recommend for us to read?
Well, interestingly enough, I discovered it through my business. It's a service-based business, but it's called Expert Secrets, The Underground Playbook to Find Your Message, Build a Tribe and Change the World by Russell Brunson. And look, he's very funnel-based, which I'm not really. I'm somewhat of a Shopify girl, but he does websites using ClickFunnels. But he has a great section in his book, and it's all about creating a culture around your brand. Yeah, and I really recommend reading it. He talks about finding niches and sub niches, and it's relevant for e-commerce and just in terms of marketing, you know.
And understanding the digital playground that we're in now.
Yeah, and it's in e-commerce. I can't stress this enough. It's creating that culture.
Yeah.
Don't be scared to have 100 customers that constantly buy from you over trying to go and, you know, obtain a million that buy from you once a year. You know, like it's really creating that culture, and they're the stores that do well.
Yeah. Well, look, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your wealth of knowledge. I think, you know, we could have probably continued another hour about those things. So I really appreciate it. And where can people find you?
Yep. So my coaching services are at sarahquinney.com or theecommercebusinesscoach.com. And yeah, I help. I do a lot of one-on-one coaching and Facebook ads coaching. Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Great. Yep. Really appreciate your time.
Awesome.
And cool. I'll chat to you on the phone.
Fabulous. Thanks, Lindsay.
See ya.
Bye.
Let me share a little secret to business success with you. Every business success is grounded in business know-how. Now, it may sound simple, but trust me, it's easier said than done, or else you wouldn't be feeling time poor, working late and long hours, and suffering from constant headaches due to team miscommunication or wearing all the hats in your business. If this sounds familiar and you're ready for the madness and the mayhem to end, and maybe you want to actually take a few days off rather than just take a pause from nearly having a nervous breakdown, then you need my free guide to the Freedom and Profit Formula. Now, in this guide, I reveal the 5 key steps to freedom and profit.
This is the framework I used inside my own business, where I worked only 15 hours a week in the business, with a turnover closing $2 million, earning a multi-six-figure income for myself. And yes, it is well within your reach too. Whatever the goal, head to the salonownerscollective.com to get instant access to your free 5-step freedom and profit guide and begin to build a business that you envisaged when you started and gain back just a little bit of freedom and profit for you inside of your business. As always, thank you so much for joining me and tuning into the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Until next week, continue pursuing your dreams of freedom and profit.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.